Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome along, everybody. Thank you so much for once again joining us. We got a massive show on our hands today. This is a review show of the weekend. No Premier League action this weekend. So we decided to take a trip around Europe. Some fantastic games to watch. And I've got my two friends with me, Nigel Riococker and Michael LaHood. It's been a little bit different, Nigel. No Premier League games this weekend. You were forced to watch the other games around Europe. Which one did you watch? Which one did you enjoy?
I watched quite a few games. I watched Napoli. I thought they were fantastic. Watched a bit of La Liga also. And for me, I said we discussed them a bit about Real Madrid, about the business that they do and how good a team that they look and the balance. And oh, what a display they put on. Fantastic to watch. So I watched quite a few. I really took in a lot of football this weekend. We've also enjoyed a bit of time to myself. So I got that balance right, mate. What about you?
Mike, what you got?
Oh, man, my head's gone. My head's absolutely done in after this Serie A game. I just want let's finish with the pleasantry. Let's just get into it because there's so much to talk about. My head's literally gone and I'm caffeinated. So let's get it.
Well, what a great start that is. My name is Ian Joy. You're watching Keiko Lazo. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to start with the game Michael just touched upon a moment ago. Juventus against Salernitana. It was an absolutely wild affair. And I mean wild affair. This might have been my favorite game to watch this past weekend. So Juventus obviously went a goal behind thanks to Candreva on the 18th minute. It was a cracking goal, lovely cross, obviously wonderful finish. I think Cuadrado could have done a bit better there. And then Piatek got the goal in the second half to make it 1-1 before it started to get really interesting. Bremer, of course, a little bit interesting. What's going on with this? It was crazy to see Juve so far behind in the game, then pull a goal back, Michael, and then at the end to have the drama of having an equalizer, obviously a strange penalty kick, and then a winning goal that was then given away. I mean, taken away from video review. What did you think of the overall game from Juventus, first and foremost, before we even get into all the craziness at the end?
Look away, Juve fans. Your team is in massive trouble. It's desperation hour. I saw a team that's desperate. The game against PSG, you can write that as a one-off potentially, but this is a team that has no life, no belief. And when that Milik goal went in, it was almost a lifeline for them. It's almost as if their season depended on it. Max Allegri, I think he's on the hot seat. We've already said a coach on the hot seat. Nigel, you're one for one on that count.
Nigel.
Yes.
Crazy game, mate. I know there's been a lot of action. It's been difficult to follow everything. But Max Allegri, at one point in this game, I'm following my Serie A pundits. I've got Matteo Bonetti, Marco Messina, even our Poppy Miller, my co-host on HQ, you know very well, all criticizing Juventus. They seem to think that Allegri's on the hot seat. Not a good result at the end, finishing 2-2. But Juventus right now, not themselves.
Yeah, you'd have to say he's definitely on the hot seat. I think for a club of Juventus stature and what the history and what that club is about, these results are not good. You know, they really are. They seem really off the pace. You've got other teams that are doing ever so well in the likes of Napoli from out of nowhere that's surprising a lot of people this year. You've obviously got the usual of the Inter and the AC and also Roma with the rebuild kind of under Jose Mourinho. Juventus just look like they're nowhere near about it. And for a club that big with such history as well in the Champions League, let alone in Serie A, you would have to say he definitely is on the hot seat. And you'd have to say also it's because of the caliber of managers that's available. Let's not forget, club legend Zinedine Zidane is still out there available for a job and opportunity. And I think if they tried to get the likes of Zinedine Zidane in, you know they'll give him a windfall of kitty to help him to bring back Juventus the way he needs to be. Maybe it's the time, I would say, for Juventus for the changing of the guard, because Allegri's been there for so long now. And, you know, this is his, what, second swan song there at the club?
Yes.
It just doesn't seem to be working out for him there. Maybe it might just be that Juventus head into a different direction now.
Yeah, well, I will say this, though. It is his second adventure at the club. His first one worked out pretty well indeed. And now you see what's happening at the football club. They've made some signings. They spent a lot of money on Vlahovic coming into the door. And I just want to be clear, this game was absolutely crazy. Juve were 2-0 down at one stage in this game. They managed to pull a goal back. Bremer pulling one back after giving away a handball early in the game. There was a few controversial decisions that video review stepped up and made big calls here. At the end of the game, if you didn't catch it, I suggest you go and try and find the highlights somewhere. The last probably 5-10 minutes of this game, Mike, I know you caught it. I know you've been tired. You've been working your butt off. But catching the end of that game certainly breathed a bit of life into all of us because it was craziness. There ended up being 4 red cards, I think, after 90 minutes. It was insane.
Yeah, and I think it's a sign of things to come for Max Allegri. He got a red card. Could that be his marching orders for real that were just foreshadowed for him? This is madness from Juve. For about 60 minutes, they were second best in every category. What worries me about their team is how they are struggling to create chances and score goals. They brought in Vlahovic to solve that problem, got rid of Cristiano Ronaldo because he was too old, too selfish. Alvaro Morata not brought back. They thought he was the problem and Vlahovic was the future. Vlahovic seems to be having brick feet in front of goal. Static, just shambolic today in my book.
Brick feet in front of goal. Wow, I have never heard it said as that. He's having a difficult time. But let's be real, though. It is a rebuild process at that club. And I think everyone knew that for a while. And they just haven't seemed to get the right formula there. Because I know I still think he's a good player. You know, you can't take away. You don't become a bad player overnight. You look at what he was doing at Fiorentina. Maybe his price might be inflated. As Ian Joy would love to jump in on this one and give his opinion on him. But I still think potentially he is a great talent. I just think he's gone into a real difficult situation right now. And I think that also from him going into Juventus, Mike, all the expectation came to him. It was that whole classic number nine again from the history of the club, of the players that have had to play that number nine, the Del Piero role. He was expected to get the goals and get that team firing. But he just hasn't been able to work out for him at the moment. And I think maybe the burden and the pressure of being that number nine, that striker, that old school all-round striker, Juventus, is becoming a bit too much for him.
Well, it's a lot of pressure, you have to say, Mike. I'll let you jump in just a second real quickly because Nigel mentioned my name there, so it means that, you know what, I got to fire back here. I don't like getting fired at, you know. I understand the price tag is being overinflated. There's a lot of price tags out there. If you look at the recent transfer window, it's insane. Some of the money that's been sharing hands or swapping hands, it's been ridiculous. I must admit that. But when I saw Vlahovic and the goals that he scored at Fiorentina, and I will admit I didn't catch all of his games, but as the rumor started to mount and started to get stronger and stronger, I thought, I'm going to watch him more. And I did. And I thought, wow, what a player. He just looked fantastic. But when you arrive at a big club, right, you arrive at a big club with great history and you're the man responsible to try and get them back to the top of the table, it's very, very difficult to do indeed. So I'll come back on in just a second. My cameras just switched off, but I'll let you take over, Mike. What do you think about that?
I think this is a striker who thrives on service. At Fiorentina, he was getting the quality service that he needed. Last season, he was getting quality service, but him and Alvaro Morata were running into each other's spaces. Now that he's the main man, you saw what he could do having the likes of an Angel Di Maria. I wonder if how much he's suffering is down to the fact that Paul Pogba, Angel Di Maria, players who were brought in to be the creative forces of the team are not there. Their midfield three, like for like, static. They were crap. I also said brick feet. We're going to call them crap. Because that's where they were. That's what caffeine dictates. I'm bringing the gloves out today.
I love it. Nigel, anything to wrap up?
I like this new energy from... I like this new energy from Mike. I think that I can finally say that Mike is not in that participation trophy era. He calls it how it is. Very un-American of you, but yet...
Oh, I knew that was coming.
You're right. I think for me that you're right, Mike. You made a very good point. Paul Pogba is a big part. They brought him in for that reason, to be that creative genius, that creative kind of artist that Juventus have been missing in need. And I think that he will thrive off the service that Paul Pogba can produce. But the problem they've got right now is Paul Pogba's injured. And not just he's the Serie A season for Juventus, it's also a doubt for the World Cup, for the French national team.
Yeah, well, he's not the only one that's injured for Juve right now. They're dealing with a ton of injuries, not easy, but just wondering whether or not they can try to get these consistent results back and really mount that challenge at the top of the table again. Next up for Juventus is a home game against Benfica in the Champions League before a trip to Monza next weekend. We'll talk about them a little bit later on in the show, but let's talk about Napoli. We'll jump ahead. They got a last-minute winning goal, Nigel, at the weekend over Spezia Raspadori, the 22-year-old scoring his first goal of the season. It's a last-minute winner for Napoli. They just came off the back of a massive result against Liverpool. To be expected, some tired legs and leaving at last minute, Nigel?
Nope. They followed it up with a fantastic performance. It was all Napoli. They were fantastic. El Mas was fantastic. Anguissa was a different player for me. He's not the same player that I saw at Fulham. I thought he was absolutely sensational again. And you would think that when you come off such a high against playing against Liverpool, not just putting in the performance, but beating Liverpool like they did, one of the favourites for the Champions League, you'd think that there'll be a bit of complacency. They'll relax a bit, you know, back to domestic form. But they were sensational. They really are showing that they're a team to really take serious for this Serie A title race. If they can play with that same intensity and that momentum throughout the whole season and keep those players, they're really a big threat, Ian. And again, I'm not going to butcher his name, but... Kowacha.
Oh, my days. You sound like Ashley Cole all over again doing the Europa League draw. You are Ashley Cole.
Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. The Georgian the Georgian superstar. The I don't know. He's a bit of a little bit of a Steve McManaman Maradona about him on that wing there. Fantastic. He was
I love to say that.
Today.
I love to hear that. Kvaratskhelia. That's his name right there.
I was close.
I'll back you up here, Nigel. They had 28 shots, six of them on target, and Kvaratskhelia had five shots himself. Continues to impress. I mean, are they deserving of their position at the top of the table, Mike? I mean, can they really keep this up all year long? You're dealing with European competition. You're dealing with a real battle in Serie A to potentially go and win a Scudetto this year. It's not going to be easy for them, but we're all kind of liking what we're seeing so far.
Yeah, they've had an explosive start to the season. Although last season, I want to remind everyone that they started out of the gates as well in Serie A, and everyone was talking, can they win the Scudetto? Can they compete on many different platforms? This is an important year for them because it's a World Cup year. You also have some players who will not be there. One, Victor Osimhen, potentially with Nigeria, missing out on the World Cup. Injury woes for them. I worry about the condensed schedule with the amount of games, the fact that given a Champions League game right afterwards, a lot of these players that put out a lot of energy against Liverpool are still on the field. You need to get depth. And I look at the January transfer window for a club that does have money since the sale of some of their players in this past window, in the summer window. You got to go out, you got to get players who can contribute maybe in the Coppa Italia and take off some of the pressure from some of their key starters.
Well, there's no Osimhen coming up because he's now injured and not coming back until the end of September. So they're going to have to face Rangers in the upcoming tie in the Champions League without him. And Nigel, I want to touch upon this issue that's appeared right now with this tie being moved. The tie was rescheduled due to the policing shortage right now in the UK with what's happening around Queen Elizabeth II's funeral. And no travelling fans will be taking place at Ibrox, which also means there'll be no travelling fans from Glasgow going to Naples either in the UEFA Fair Play rules. Do you agree with that decision to move the tie initially because of the policing issues? But also, I want to know your opinion because you, man, who played for the fans, no fans from a traveling side and either of these sides now.
The no fans thing is going to be very, very difficult. I think it's very hard for footballers to kind of handle that. You know, obviously, some players have experienced that. Again, it depends on what club you come from, you come through and the system that you have to play in the sense of the football club. But I think it's a tough one. But again, it's just the circumstances that we're dealing with, you know, with not being having enough police officers there to police for the safety of the fans. I think that's important. I don't want to see football go back to the dark ages. And again, you're looking at two very passionate football clubs. And we've got to be real to people listening. It's also about basically the history and the fact of nationality plays a part.
Yeah.
We are very aware of these games. And I don't want to see the dark ages of football with how far, especially club of Rangers, how far they've come along from where they were. And then again, you're talking about also Napoli as well. Very passionate fans, very passionate about their city and their country. Let's just keep it on the football pitch. We don't want to see it spill outside. And if there's not going to be enough police officers there to safely police so that fans are safe, because I'm about football for the kids and the family. I want to see more families going to football matches, young kids going. I don't want them to go and see the violent idiots or the few who ruin it for everyone else. So if that's the case, so be it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Next up, Mike, before we jump on, is a game against AC Milan away from home. That's going to be next Sunday. Little prediction from you in that one.
Oof. You know, you can't bet against AC Milan the way they're thriving in Serie A right now. But a big player is missing for Milan in their next match, and that could be a difference maker for them. Not sure of Milan and how they'll cope without this key figure in Rafa Leao.
Yeah, hey. Rafa Leao. Go on, Nigel, before I tell you.
Rafa Leao was on fire again today. Oh, my God. He was sensational. He was. Do you know what the funny thing is? You're watching that game. You're seeing what a talent he is. What a real raw talent he is. And he could only get better and better. His link up and understanding with Giroud was fantastic. And on the other hand, inside of my head, I'm laughing to myself saying, I wonder if Chelsea could do with Giroud right now, because he looks like he's still on fantastic form. And what a bit of bad business that was done by Chelsea getting rid of Giroud. Because right now, he's the type of striker that they need with all that youth that they've got around him. He'll be fantastic in Chelsea's team right now. But as Mike said, Rafa Leao was unbelievable. My question is, did you guys see the sending off?
Yes.
Oh, my God. For me, that is nowhere near a sending off. Like, it just doesn't make no sense.
Yeah. It's a yellow card, Nigel.
I don't think so. I disagree. I disagree. He's going for a bicycle kick. He's going for a bicycle kick. The defender chooses to put his head there.
The defender is doing his job. He's defending. Oh, he's putting his head into a dangerous position. It's dangerous play if you try a bike kick. You've got to know where your players are around you.
We've seen so many players set up to go for a bicycle kick. I think that's a harsh sending off. Because you might as well stop jumping for headers then. Stop competing.
Nigel, the only place that that's a safe play is in the video game Mortal Kombat. And I've seen enough of that game. My little brother plays it. That's the only space that's a safe play. And that's not a yellow card. That's minimum a yellow card. It's dangerous play. I don't think it's a red card.
We should just outlaw and ban scissors kicks, bicycle kicks, and all that of football now, right?
So I will say this. I've gotten a red card off a bicycle kick on a set piece play.
Nah. For me, I'm sorry. I'm going to stick by my guns. I don't think that's a sending off. I know it's a yellow card, but still, his intentions are purely for the ball. The defender chooses to stick his head there, no problem. But for me, nah. It's harsh to give that a yellow card.
All right. Let me update with everybody what's going on here right now. Sampdoria 1, AC Milan 2 was the score at the weekend. Junior Messias got the opening goal, his first of the season, assisted by Leao. And then what happened? 47 minutes into the game, Leao got a second yellow card for a bicycle kick and accidentally almost took somebody's head off, which Nigel Riakoka I think is okay. The game did not end there, though. Juricic got one back to make it 1-1 before Olivier Giroud made it 2-1 thanks to a penalty kick, and it was an interesting game. But the talking point, and I think debate should be up there, Nigel, and I'm okay with having a discussion about this one, whether or not a bicycle kick in the box is okay. I think you should be able to try it. I think you should be allowed to do it. But whenever you're close to a defender, and you should always know that there's going to be people near you inside the penalty area, if you don't connect with the ball properly and you kick the opponent, it has to be a foul. It has to be dangerous play if you catch someone in the head.
True, understandable. I just think it's harsh, though. And again, we're talking about these bicycle kicks. Let's remember one of the great bicycle kicks we saw when it came to European football. Remember Rivaldo's hat-trick for Barcelona to get them into the Champions League? There was a defender directly behind him. So are we going to outlaw bicycle kicks?
Did he make contact with the player?
It was close.
But he did make contact.
You get no cards for being close.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You go point. Yeah.
What I do like about your argument and the devil's advocate about that is that it's a key player. It wasn't an intentionally malicious play. And I think your initial argument of saying that's not a red card, I think all three of us are in agreement with that the referee gets it wrong in a game where we've seen referees do that, where they're a bit card happy. And I think the pressure of the game, the pressure of the moment, the intensity which AC Milan started that game with, Rafael Leao was a menace from start to the red card and will be sorely missed for the next match.
No, I think you're right. I think that's the thing that I probably need to get across myself is right. It's for me, the intention wasn't there. And I think that's why it's so harsh, because all of his focus was on the ball. He wasn't intentionally trying to kick a defender or anything like that. He went for the acrobatic, missed it, kicked the defender, yellow card. Yes, Ian, you're right. You win this one. No problem.
I'm sure there'll be a lot more.
That is going to be a big miss for next week's game. That's going to be a big miss. And I think for me, I would say just because of that factor, I give advantage to Napoli.
Yeah, fair play right there. Well said as well, Nigel. I think you should be able to try things in the box, but you just always got to be careful. So I'm glad I won this one. I'm sure there'll be many more debates coming up between us. Anyway, let's move on real quickly. Other result in Serie A before we move on to the Bundesliga real quickly is Lecce 1, Monza 1. Monza earned their historic first ever Serie A point thanks to a splendid Stefano Sensi free kick. But super sub John Gonzalez then got Lecce back on level terms. Historic moment. But a pretty much a rough start right here. Mike, what are your thoughts on Monza? Obviously, it's going to be interesting to see them in Serie A this campaign. Berlusconi.
They brought Sensi in to perform magical moments like that. A player who has 9 caps for the Italian national team, former Inter man, and has kind of become a journeyman throughout Serie A on loan to get some meaningful minutes and hopefully be a player who comes back to impact that group. What I worry about is there's not enough players who I think can make this transition from Serie B to Serie A. The quality is lacking there. To get a result is massive because you need to start somewhere, but I could see this being a one-and-done season for them if they don't bring in more players. They do have the owner who has more money than – no, he doesn't have more money than Abramovich. Well, actually, he does have more money than Abramovich right now because all that money has been taken from him.
I thought we were going to say more money than sense. Nigel, what are your thoughts on Monza? Obviously, bottom of the table, relegation battles, never easy, but Monza are spending some serious money here under Berlusconi's here, so they're trying to do their best. Can you buy your way to staying in the league? And he's gone. Just me and you, Michael. What do you think, though? Well, do you think they can? They can buy themselves into staying in the league?
No, we've seen this recipe in the Premier League. A team that comes to mind, Fulham, did that most recently. Nottingham Forest seems to be doing that this year. You have to have a plan, a philosophy, a DNA, a spine of a team that you build, that you literally you're building a project to stay in Serie A. The teams that have done that, the Brightons of the world, they're in the Premier League and maintain that Premier League status for a reason. I think it's going to be disaster central for Monza.
Well, as we welcome Nigel back, we will remind you, please don't forget the Paramount Plus is the only place to stream every single minute of every Serie A match. And you can quickly and easily sign up for your very own account right now by clicking on the link in the description. All right, let's jump into some Bundesliga chat real quickly because I know, Mike, you're a very busy man. You've got to go to job number 7 for today. We'll start with Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, a 2-2 draw against Stuttgart. The youngster, Matthias Tell, got his first goal in the Bundesliga. Now the youngest ever goal scorer in a Bundesliga for Bayern Munich before Musiala made it 2-1. Jorasi made it 2-2 in the end. So Bayern Munich, yet again, another draw for them. 3 consecutive draws in the Bundesliga. Crazy times right now for Bayern Munich. I mean, what are your thoughts there?
I think they're a club that's spread thin between the Champions League and their Bundesliga aspirations. When you've won the Bundesliga as many times as they have in the modern era, you kind of get bored a bit. And I just wonder if the boredom of these players is so much so to the fact that they don't really show up and maintain energy because they have a massive game this coming week against a familiar foe, Robert Lewandowski.
Nigel, I can see you smiling.
I'm waiting for you to say something, Ian, because obviously you said it last time with us that, oh, there's just something not quite right at Bayern. Remember you saying that?
Yes.
I remember you saying it. But if you look at the game, let's be real. Bayern gifted those goals away, trying to play out the back, and it was just way too easy. And again, I think I have to agree with what Mike's saying. Sometimes it might be a comfort level. I think some of these players are just so comfortable. I think this was, 10 consecutive domestic titles. And maybe priorities might be set elsewhere. Maybe the priorities might be Champions League. I think Champions League is the golden goose. That's what majority of that 1% clubs do.
Nigel,
what?
You've lost your mind. There's no way this Bayern Munich side can win the Champions League this year.
No, I'm not saying they can win it. I'm saying that might be their priority. I'm not saying they can win it. I'm saying that might be their priority, just to add to what Mike said. Because yes, they've won domestic titles how many times now? It does become a bit boring and a bit stale. So again, whether from up top or board level, that their priority might be Champions League is the main goal for that club. Because I think personally, it's the same thing we talk about when we talk about Manchester City. They've won the league title. Fans in Manchester City fans are very happy. They've won league titles, won FA Cup, won domestic stuff. They want the Champions League. That is what Pep's being judged on. The whole thing of bringing Haaland in again is to help them maybe win the Champions League. And I think maybe for Bayern Munich, it could be the same thing. You know, it could be a bit of boredom. But when you look at Bayern Munich and the just basically the caliber of goals they gave away in this game,
yeah,
that's like schoolboyish. Like, that's not Bayern Munich. And it was
not
just
it's Bayern Munich.
Easy.
Nigel. It is. We have to face it. Bayern Munich are a team that make defensive mistakes. They switch off in vital moments, in big games, and even in the Bundesliga, in games that you would expect them to win. And I think maybe if I go back to your question that you threw at us on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, where you said, can anyone stop Bayern Munich from winning the league? And I think the answer is no. No one can stop Bayern Munich from winning the league, even at this rate, even with there being a problem with Bayern Munich right now. Leipzig just changed their coach because they seem to be flat starting the Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund sold their top striker. And sure, they're struggling with injury, but inconsistency again at the weekend with a poor result against Leipzig. Nobody's challenging Bayern Munich at the top of the table. Freiburg just drew with Gladbach. They're top of the table at the moment as well. So it's crazy to see what's happening in the Bundesliga. And I understand and I respect both of you saying it's boring, but it's a little bit crazy. If you look at some of the teams that are flying around the Bundesliga right now who are having success, you have Freiburg who are doing well, just drew. Union Berlin, top of the table right now, just won. They beat Cologne in a crazy, crazy game. We'll get onto that in just a second. But no one seems to be challenging Bayern Munich. So I'm going to throw this to you, Mike. Nigel had mentioned it to me last week. Can anyone challenge Bayern for a domestic trophy this year, even at this rate?
I think the difficult thing with some of the potential challengers is they are not deep squads. They're still embroiled in European competition. And it's a tricky, tricky affair. Last year, Mönchengladbach, they decided the Champions League was going to be their folly, and they really went for it. And it cost them their places in the league. Leipzig, they've been one of the mainstays in the top four as of late. But they're a team that are trying to figure themselves out, as you said. So I think the timing of this reshuffle in the Bundesliga really aids Bayern. They're in a vulnerable place right now. Last season, though, at the start of the season, there was retinkering Nagelsmann's first year, and they went through a bit of a lull to start the season. But when this Bayern team hits, they tend to hit with aggression and with a vengeance. So now is prime time for teams to get, not just turn difficult games into draws, but can you get 3 points off this Bayern team? That's what I'm looking for potential title challengers.
Hey, Nigel, before I jump into you, Bayern obviously have a big game coming up against Barcelona at home this week in the Champions League before they then have the Bavarian derby against Augsburg. Are Bayern good enough to compete with Barca right now? Because right now, Bayern and Munich are favourites to win that game, and there's pretty good odds on there to get Barcelona to actually win the game. I think it was like plus 280.
But you know what, Ian, you know what it's like sometimes as players, though. Sometimes there's certain games that as players that you are thinking of ahead, you know, and I think that game there is on a lot of Bayern Munich's players. And it's always funny because you've seen it, we've seen it so many times where certain teams you would expect the likes of Bayern to be easily and comfortably when they play teams maybe in the bottom half of the league. They struggle, They find it hard because those bottom half teams raise their game because they're playing Bayern Munich. It's going to be the same kind of concept we're looking at with this Barcelona game. Yes, Bayern got the draw. Let's be honest about it. They got the draw. They did not lose the game. Maybe a draw is not good enough, but still we talk about winning mentality, creating that winning mentality. And from clubs that I've been at, creating that winning mentality is you go into a game, 3 points are what you can come with, but the minimum you can come with is 1 point. So you take that 1 point. That's the minimum. You don't lose. You don't come here with nothing. That is how you create that winning mentality. And Bayern still got the draw. Maybe we're being a bit too heavily critical on Bayern Munich. But I feel in that dressing room, those players are going to be getting ready to raise their game because they know it's Barcelona. And that's what happens. We've seen it before so many times where teams of that level don't perform on the weekend. And then they're playing another giant in European football and they're absolutely sensational. So yeah. I feel that they definitely will raise their game because they know what's at stake. There's going to be so many people with an eye on this game because, again, it's the return of the golden child. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be interested to see how he does. And then you've got the new school there who flying the flag for Bayern Munich who want to prove a point themselves. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting catch. I think they definitely will compete, Ian, for the Champions League.
We are getting some awesome comments coming in. Matt Osman just mentioning it right there that he hopes somebody else wins the Bundesliga title this year to keep the Bundesliga entertaining. Rafa Cardenas just a moment ago saying, sell Lewandowski. You pretty much lose a ton of your goals, and I completely agree with that mindset. Let's move pretty quickly through a couple of games that caught my attention this weekend. Cologne went down by a goal to nil thanks to Union Berlin and an own goal in the third minute. Ubers with the own goal. Jordan Sabichu missed a penalty kick in that game there. Not necessarily his best moment, but I'm not sure if Union Berlin can keep up this pace right now. They're top of the Bundesliga at this moment in time by a point, but they are flying pretty high. They've got great experience, obviously. Trimmel, Knoche, Kedira. They've got a lot of great players. And Urs Fischer, who's one of the craziest coaches, Nigel, you'd love to read up about this guy. Swiss guy, a little bit crazy in the mind. He would fit in well with our group. Let's move on to Freiburg, who were top of the table coming into this match day. They drew 0-0 against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Joe Scally started that game, played pretty well at right fullback. Both goalkeepers in this match had a terrific game. Summers and Flecken, man of the match, both of them as far as I'm concerned, but not a great game for finishing once again. I think there was 27 shots in the game and goalkeepers just had an absolute blinder. But the game of the weekend in the Bundesliga for me, gentlemen, before I let you go, Michael, was Leipzig against Borussia Dortmund. Leipzig 3-0 win. New coach, Marco Rosa, now at the helm after Domenico Tedesco recently got fired after the humiliation by Shakhtar in the Champions League. Job Zalai, man of the match, a goal and an assist. He was terrific, but pretty poor from Borussia Dortmund. Mike, did you catch the game? Did you see any minutes of this match? It was absolutely crazy. And even if you didn't, what do you think of the result?
No, I caught the game. I couldn't stop watching because I was in disbelief at what I was seeing from Borussia Dortmund. And, you know, shout out to Tedesco. He and Thomas Tuchel are in Ibiza, most likely, licking their wounds after sackings on the same day. Who would have thunk that those two would become best friends early on in the season? But for Leipzig, this was a game they needed to get. This is the type of momentum-building results against a Dortmund team who had a brilliant result in the Champions League. And by brilliant, I say that because they've had injury woes. Gio Reyna, a spark plug for them, coming off the bench. And Nigel, I know I got to give my USMNT fans and players a shout. I'll do that once a week, and I know you're going to crush me. But Gio Reyna getting off the bench Wednesday, I just wonder with this Dortmund team if they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. Maybe felt like, hey, Leipzig, they haven't gotten off the mark. A little bit of discombobulation. Timo Werner and Nkunku trying to gel a bit more. Just
Emil Strange Forsberg. Partnership.
Oh, yeah, never really thought that would come to fruition again. Emil Forsberg, I thought, was brilliant in this game. Mm-hmm. He's a player who's been inconsistent for club and country. I thought he showed up finally in this Bundesliga matchup, and that made the difference in midfield.
Mike, is it from, like, honestly, do you think it was the Leipzig were that good? Or were Dortmund just that poor? How would you really just analyze the game in a nutshell?
That's a great question. I think it's a combination of both. Credit to Leipzig. They had a barn burner of a start. Set pieces were a strength of theirs in past season and last season. They have a guy who looks like a WWE wrestler as center back who scored a thumping header of a goal. And they have pace out wide. Sometimes they don't use it in the right ways. They try and overplay. What I liked about it is when you get a new manager, we've all been there. When you get a new manager, you always see a response from the team. There's a new lease on life for players and especially attackers. Leipzig answered the toll. And Marco Rose, he knows Borussia Dortmund. It was almost yesterday that he was there. So he almost knew which buttons to push to get at Dortmund. I credit more Leipzig being the aggressor than Dortmund having that bad of a performance.
Mark Levinson with the comment right there. Bundesliga clubs are inconsistent. And I agree, Mark. I agree. Because the inconsistency, that's why we're seeing frustration. Because Bayern are winning the title even when they're not playing well. They're playing at 60% right now and they're still third in the table. This game was crazy. Obviously, you expect Leipzig to pick it up after recently appointed Marco Rosa. I get it. I understand it. It's a great question, Nigel. I think that Borussia Dortmund are struggling at this moment in time. Obviously, had a good Champions League win. Then you come into this game. It's always going to be difficult traveling away from home, going to Leipzig when they've just replaced their coach. It's a familiar face in Marco Rose. But the goals that they conceded were very poor. And I think Leipzig could have scored 6 goals in this game. They were that good. They were that dynamic. Had Timo Werner really just lifted up his head 2 or 3 times, he would have seen Nkunku. And you mentioned it, Mike. He would have seen Nkunku. So that chemistry still has to build at Leipzig. But Dortmund are missing some key players. And I'm going to touch upon a couple of them right now. Adeyemi out injured. Aller, we know, going through his testicular cancer right now. We wish him all the best. Daniel Malen out. Bino Gittens out. Daoud out. I mean, these are big players obviously missing for Borussia Dortmund. And it was always going to be very, very difficult for them. But for sure, it's a test in time for a lot of the clubs. And Mike, before we let you go, we got to touch upon the fact that the Bundesliga is still a competitive league. It still keeps me entertained, even if it doesn't keep everybody else who's out there watching entertained when you're following the Premier League or whichever league is your passion, Serie A or La Liga. But outside of Bayern Munich, is there a team that potentially could finish in second place that we are not necessarily recognizing right now? Leverkusen at the bottom of the table. We're seeing Freiburg, Union Berlin at the top of the table. We're seeing some crazy teams challenging. How do you think the top four is going to line out, and maybe who could be the ones that finish second, third, and fourth?
Those two teams you mentioned last season, Union Berlin and Freiburg, doing the unthinkable, almost pushing for Champions League and Europa League competition. And they do that, getting Europe under their belt and almost pushing toe-to-toe with the likes of Leipzig for the DFB Pokal. I don't even know I got the initials right, but we'll call it the MC Hammer Pokal if need be. But the German Cup is what we'll call it. And that gives me confidence in them to maintain. They've kept a lot of the same players. Union Berlin losing one of their leading goal scorers to Nottingham Forest, a Premier League move. You see big money moves happening for players who have breakout seasons. But the fact that they've come out strong, I want to see how they deal with European competition. Where do they prioritize it? If they decide they're going to make a run at the European competition, then I think their Bundesliga form will fall. But if they get out of the group stages or say, hey, this has been a good experience, now let's focus on cementing our place in Germany, I think they could be the surprise packages.
Nigel, anything else to add before we head out and let Mike get out of here?
No, I think Mike's right, 100%. I mean, I watched Freiburg today as well, and I think for me, they're a very well-coached team, very well-organized, out of possession. If you look at them, how they defend very well. I think, again, when you look at the game today with Gladbach, neither team really wanted to win. And I think if one of those teams can get a real clinical striker, I think they definitely will be up there and be able to mount a challenge, because they had some real good chances, and the chances that they had, they should have really been put in the back of the net.
Yeah, there's some big games coming up. Obviously, next match day in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich take themselves on the road to Augsburg. It's a Bavarian derby. Then you also have the Riviera derby. Borussia Dortmund taking on Schalke, who had a big win this weekend over Bochum. And Borussia Mönchengladbach, yes, that's Joe Scally, taking on Leipzig. Some cracking games. Union Berlin taking on Wolfsburg at the top of the table, trying to maintain their rate at the top. Mike, first and foremost, I got to say, fantastic job as always. I know you're probably moving on to job number 7. Where are you going? Where are you going from this moment right now? We're live out there on YouTube right now. What's next for you today? What are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm hopefully going to sleep in the next couple hours. That's my next job. Don't get paid for that one, unfortunately. I wish I did, because I'm probably underpaid because I haven't slept that much.
Are you
going to
be dreaming about England beating USA?
Hey, so for you fans watching, there's heavy banter, the uptick in banter. LME is left, and we just have gotten the most banterific. I know that's a crap American word, but we'll use it. Banterific. Additions in the transfer window for Kay Golasso and these two, but there's a promise that's about to be. I'm not going to spoil it, but yes, that USMNT game, I'm going to be having dreams and hopefully not nightmares about. But with how much you've been slamming me, Nigel, it's definitely going to be worrying signs.
Looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? It's a good point, actually. Do you know something that we haven't mentioned as well? So we talked about all these teams and everything, and obviously we're all watching and witnessing something we've never seen before in the fact of a World Cup in winter. We have to realize about some of these clubs we're discussing, if they can stay involved up to that winter break, this is the first time the World Cup's in winter and players and the transfer window is going to be open during that time. So a lot of players can put themselves on the shop window where it's going to be something we've never seen, where some of these players can literally get bought during that transfer window of a big tournament coming off and made the biggest footballing tournament. So that could be interesting in how the recruiting this year will affect some of these clubs that are competing for titles.
Yeah, it's something for sure we have never seen before. A Winter World Cup, it seems crazy. And it's also crazy for the players who are going through a compact schedule already with fixtures just left, right, and center. Now, in the UK in particular, these games being cancelled this weekend even adds to that more. So it's a crazy time right now for players, coaches, and fans out there who are trying to get through this. It's not going to be easy, but it's beautiful for all of us there. Nigel, just brilliant once again, as always. We'll see you in just a moment. But Michael Ahood, fantastic. We'll let you go to bed. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you. Me and Nigel are free transfers onto the show, but we can guarantee you, you and all our viewers out there are in for one hell of a roller coaster ride. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll be chatting some La Liga and some incredible, crazy results.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back, everyone, to Kiko Lazo. My name is Ian Joy, alongside Nigel Rio-Coker. Entertaining, no endless. Of course, terrific once again, as always, in La Liga. The games were thick and fast this morning. It's been crazy to watch some of the games. It's been interesting to see some of the results. Nigel Rio-Coker, let's start with Real Betis against Villarreal, who don't concede too many goals. And again today, Real Beticos, they just went off to another fantastic result and managed to find the winner thanks to Rodri. Did you catch the game? What do you think of the result?
I think it's a great result for Real Betis. You know, you're very surprising with Villarreal. Like you said, they're a very tough team to beat. Anytime Villarreal lose a game, you've done well because they're a very well-coached team. Unai Emery is a fantastic manager. And we look at the run that they did with the Champions League and how far he took them there. And Real Betis, it's a big win for them. Really big win. They're doing really well at the moment and enjoying themselves. It's going to be interesting, in all honesty, this year's campaign in La Liga. Because I'm interested to see what you think, Ian. I think for me personally, the favourites that I see, barring any serious injuries, is Real Madrid. I think Real Madrid look fantastic. But for me, it's that rest of where the rest of the pack lies and who are going to be the real contenders. You know, what do you reckon?
Yeah, listen, it's interesting to me. Obviously, we're talking about Real Betis and Villarreal. We're talking about two teams who are third and fourth in the La Liga standings after this result. Very tight affairs. We know that Villarreal don't concede many goals. Obviously, we always question about, you know, what are you doing with your transfers? Who are you bringing into the club? You know, who have you allowed to leave the club? Not much money transfer in hand in La Liga this campaign. It's been interesting to watch the Premier League and Serie A leading the way with all the transfers and a lot of money being spent on those two leagues. But certainly some crazy results chasing the top teams in La Liga. I thought this result was a big one for Real Betis. Obviously, just getting a goal, making sure you win the game, picking up 3 points, keeping yourself in the hunt at the top of the table. But you're absolutely right as we move on to Real Madrid against Mallorca this weekend. It was another big performance. Obviously, today we were hoping to see a big performance. We were worried about Real Madrid without Benzema, but they showed up in a very big way with a 4-1 win over Mallorca.
Well, do you know what I love, Ian, as well? And then I know you're the type of person as well. I love characters. I love players that show their personality on the football pitch. And for me, Vinicius Jr., for me, is just exactly what we're talking about. Such a young talent. He already knows he's a world talent. But he was absolutely loving every minute of it today. He took center stage and he loved it. He took the stage, he took the limelight, and he was able to handle that without obviously Benzema being there. And he was fantastic, you know, and I love seeing players like that who have that arrogance and that edge about him and are not scared to go out there and express themselves. Had a great game. You look at Valverde as well. He had a fantastic game. Also, Rodrigo, another great game and a great goal as well. Great individual goal. And it just goes to show for me, again, what we've complimented them before about how that club is run and how they do it. They've got great scouting network. They've got great recruitment network and they've got a great balance. Also, the fact of Rudiger coming on, scoring in the back post as well. a player that Chelsea dearly big time miss. You know, a real big statue of a man, not just a footballing player, but the personality and character he can be in the dressing room. And I personally think that Real Madrid will probably go again to win another La Liga title, because I just think that they look so good all around from start to finish.
Yeah, Lucky Singh with the comment right there. He likes La Liga this year and last season. Thank you so much for all your comments that you're sharing right now. Please make sure you like and subscribe as we continue on with Real Madrid. I mean, I'll go through the goals here. They obviously conceded a goal in the first half. Mariki getting the opening goal. Beautiful goal as well. And it's a hard one to defend at the back post. It was a great free kick. Lovely cross. And just switched off for a split second. But that can happen.
Oh, wait. Let's rewind that, Ian. It wasn't a hard one to defend. It was Mendy just didn't defend, didn't challenge, or didn't even jump. He literally just stood and was just a passenger watching. Mendy needed to compete for that first goal.
I always think that when someone sneaks around that back post and has that little touch upon it, you just, if you lose your player very quickly, though, Nigel. And I will say this, was a great reaction at halftime, though. They got their goal thanks to Valverde at halftime, just before the halftime whistle went. And as you mentioned, it was an absolutely stunning goal. I think it was the best goal of the weekend, his second goal of the season, before your man, Vinny Jr. Five consecutive games now in a row that he has scored a goal. Rodrigo with the assist before on the 89th minute, Rodrigo scored an absolutely stunning individual goal himself, his second goal of the season, and then Antonio Rudiger coming up with a goal in the 90th minute, his first for his new club. His last competitive goal was for Chelsea against Real Madrid, so it was nice for him to get on the score sheet as well. I want to touch upon real quickly the Asensio situation, being mad, obviously not getting onto the pitch, a bit frustrated. Obviously, you can see the comments from Ancelotti post-game. He should be frustrated, kicking bottles, throwing his bib, angry that he didn't get onto the pitch. Do you agree with that type of reaction from a player who's completely pissed he just didn't get on the pitch?
I don't agree to it. I think you've always got to keep your element of professionalism, especially if you're a player that's not really been starting or playing anyway. You have no right to do that. The manager's always going to make the decision. You know it as well, Ian. You know, you've been in those situations where you want to play, you hope the manager plays you, but what real power do you have? And what's kicking the bottle or showing your frustrations, what's that going to achieve? What's that going to do? Absolutely nothing. It's different if you've been playing week in, week out, scoring goals and been on absolute fire. And then for this game, all of a sudden you're on the bench and you don't play. Then, yeah, you can maybe understand it. But if you haven't been playing for a while anyway, you're not really consistently in the team and you're on the fringes, I just think that acting like that doesn't really help at all.
I think Ancelotti handles it well just by deflating the whole situation, saying, it's okay, I want him to be mad, I want him to play. He's just handling the situation well, but I agree with you. There's a time and a place to do that. In the locker room, in the dressing room, I'm okay with a reaction like that if you're frustrated. Yeah. Out there in front of people, you're asking for attention. But it was overall a very good result and a great performance from Real Madrid, who have got Leipzig next in the Champions League before the derby against Atletico next weekend. We'll get on to Atleti in just a moment. Do you want to add something, Nigel?
Yeah, I just want to add, just in case I got the wrong player, it might have been Alaba that was ball watching, but I know someone was definitely ball watching from that Real Madrid side for that first goal and just didn't really compete, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can imagine here on Kegalazzo, there'll be many people who are watching here who will pick out your mistakes and let you know on the social media platform. Rafa Cardenas, second comment of the day. Asensio was so good a few years ago. Sad to see this decline, kind of like Isco. But there's so many players. There's so much battle going on at Real Madrid just trying to get into that starting 11. Certainly not easy to do whatsoever. So I can understand anyone's frustration. Nigel, we're running out of time, but let's move on quickly to Cadiz against Barcelona. Barca with another convincing victory. They left it to the second half for all of the goals. De Jong getting on the score sheet. Lewandowski came off the bench. He scored yet again, 6 goals in La Liga in his last 4 games. Ansu Fati got his second of the season, as did Ousmane Dembele. Lewandowski with 2 assists as well with his goal. Second half subs really dominating the game. What did you think of Barcelona overall and Lewandowski's impact at the club?
Well, you know, they've got one eye on the game of the weekend. You know, they know how much of a big game this is. And I think, let's be real, this is going to be Barcelona's biggest test so far from the start of this season, playing Bayern Munich. Yep. And it was the fact of, you can't even call them super subs, is they had to bring on the heavy hitters to get the job done. And it was the substitutes and the impact that they had that helped them to win this game. But again, typical Barcelona performance. They played well. They pretty much dominated that game really and truly. And it's just worrying a bit that they had to bring on the heavy hitters to get the job done, when really and truly, when you look at that starting lineup, the subs, they've got one eye on this Bayern Munich game. That's what they're really thinking about. And it's going to be interesting, I think, because that's the game that everyone really wants to see. And are you a bit worried about that when that happens, Ian? When the fact of you rest players that you don't really want to play them, but then you do have to bring them on to get the job done, knowing that there could have been a chance for one of them to get injured as well, while you've got such a big game midweek.
Yeah, listen, I understand it, but when things are not going well, and you know what it's like, when there's players on the bench, if you look at Barcelona's bench and their starting 11 for the last five or six games, they have got some youth, absolutely. But they also got some experience there. And it's not just Xavi who's leading this ship. He has a ton of experience in that locker room who's also helping him push this forward. They have signed such a talented group of players who are impact players. They can win games. And I can guarantee you, after watching Robert Lewandowski his whole time at Bayern Munich, he doesn't want to sit on the bench. So he would have been delighted to come on at halftime and have this type of impact. He wants to play. I know how old he is, right? He's in his mid-30s now. But he wants to play every single game. And when you've got a player who's in form, rarely gets injured, touch wood, you got to make sure you protect them. Yes, but you also got to keep them happy. And if he's going to be an impact player, wants to play every single game, you got to keep on putting him out there. But real quickly on that, because you make a great point. We know that Carrizo are bottom of the table. Obviously, it's going to be a long season for them. Barca have got Bayern Munich next week during the week before they then face Elche, which should be another must home win game for them. But Bayern Munich, I've just got to ask you this, Nigel. Am I mad to think that Barcelona can compete for both La Liga title this year and the Champions League title? Am I crazy to think that?
No, not at all. You've got a good footballing brain. It's just common sense. They definitely can compete. I think Barcelona can compete with that squad of players that they've got. And like you said, that it's a mix of experience and youth. I think that their campaign, when it comes to La Liga, is going to come down to when they play the top threes. And right now, you're looking at the games against the likes of Villarreal and also Madrid. You know, the El Clasico. That's what it's going to really come down to when it comes. It's when they take points of those guys. That's going to be the vital points that's needed to sustain for the rest of the season and also the Champions League. But they've got an array of talent. They've got some fantastic, talented players there. Still at times questionable at the back, still vulnerable at the back, not as strong and solid as, well, when have they really been solid in the back? Let's be real. When have they really been solid? You know, they're free-flowing, free-will, attacking football inside, you know. And I just think that against certain oppositions, they'll have to tweak tactically and maybe not be as adventurous and maybe be a bit more counter-attacking, but it goes against the principle of their football, of what they believe in that region.
Yeah. I'm with you. I actually think that Barcelona's defense has got better, only conceding the one goal in the La Liga campaign right now. It's only better.
Oh, come on, Ian. When have they been tested? Yeah, we discussed this. This is going to be the test. We're going to see now. Yep. We're going to see in this midweek game, and then we're going to see how it goes.
I'm excited to watch this midweek game against Bayern Munich because I feel like Bayern Munich are there for the taking. It's a possibility to see Lewandowski really just make a point about this return to Munich. So I'm excited. I can't wait for that game. Obviously, we look to build up in our preview shows coming up this week, so make sure you catch them as well. Let's finish off in La Liga. Atleti, they had a convincing victory over Celta, 4-1. Correa, De Paul, Carrasco, and an own goal obviously gave them the opportunity to win that game. Trip to Leverkusen next for them, and then it's the Madrid Derby next week. Let's talk big picture about Atleti right now. They had a crazy finish to the Champions League last week. Scored in the 98th minute, I think, to win the game. It was crazy. They have a convincing victory again this weekend. Are they good enough to compete with the Barcas and the Real Madrid in La Liga this year to finish in the top three?
I think they can definitely finish.
And just like that, Nigel Riococher has left the building. So I think they are good enough to compete with them, no doubt about it. I'm excited to watch what Atleti can do against Leverkusen. They are one of the teams right now who are struggling in the Bundesliga. Atleti obviously trying to get things going as best as they possibly can. So I'm not scared about what Atleti do, but for sure, when you've got European competition and then you're also trying to compete domestically as we welcome Nigel back into it, it's never going to be easy for an Atleti side. I'm concerned about their lack of transfer movement. Obviously, Simeone's been at the club for such a long time, Nigel. We know what's happening with Griezmann as well, this potential big price tag they've got to pay. There's a lot of noise about Atleti. I am a bit concerned about them this year. I think they might struggle to finish in the top three, potentially top four this year in La Liga with other teams playing better domestically in La Liga. I think they'll struggle in the Champions League as well, even though they got that victory on match day one.
I don't think they'll be as competitive in the Champions League, but I think in La Liga, Ian, I think they will be okay. I think that Simeone is just so knowledgeable of La Liga. Yes, they haven't been as active in the transfer market as other clubs as you'd put them in the same bracket are. But I think one thing about Simeone is he's demanding and he's consistent in what he wants and the type of players that he wants. So I think this year, more so, it'll be more domesticated in the sense of trying to finish in the top three, trying to compete for the La Liga title, which they probably still can at the moment, I would say. I'll never say right, Simeone's side out. I think for me personally, I think it's about time that Atletico maybe change the manager. I think that Simeone's done as much as he can there, and I think he needs new challenges. I would love to see, in a selfish way, I'd love to see Simeone in the Premier League. I think he's a manager with great charisma and character about him that he could really do well at the right club with the right resources. And I just think that for me, Atleti, I think he's taken him as far as he can. What more can he really do there? Can you really see him getting him to another Champions League final, you know, winning another La Liga title? I think he's done well there. I think he's reached his ceiling at Atletico. That's just my personal opinion.
In many ways, you'd have to say, in my opinion, he's overachieved at that club. Like, he has managed to make them competitive. Even last year, if you look at him competing in Europe in the latter stages once again against both Manchester clubs and knocking United out, I mean, it's just crazy how good he is. I actually wrote that down today. I've written it down, Nigel, for you, because it's a question I wanted to ask you. And I know it's going to annoy a lot of La Liga fans out there because it's the Premier League talk, and I get it, right? Listen, I follow the Bundesliga more than any other league, so you can't
come
at me.
You're a buying hater, yep, yeah, you're a buying hater, yeah, true. Go on.
I'm a realistic person, I'm telling you right now. But are you surprised that Simeone has not ended up in the Premier League already?
I am surprised. I'm very surprised. I thought that he probably would have taken that challenge there. But again, it's sometimes you look at these clubs and it's the owners and the directors of football and the chief executive. It's whether that they're a bit scared and worried about the character of Simeone and whether they can control him. And I think for some clubs, they need a character like that. They need a manager like that to really take these clubs back to where they feel they should be. And I think he'll be a great addition to the Premier League again, because you look at Simeone, Ian, and I think this is what people have to understand. Simeone wore his heart on his sleeves as a player. The players that play for Simeone, to play for Simeone, you have to be that same type of player, that same mentality, the same intensity, doing the dirty work. But when it comes to playing football, you've got to be able to play football as well. But you've got to do the dirty work. Those are the type of players he will get and be successful. I just think that the message has become a bit too stale and a bit white noise at Atletico, and I feel he's taken them as far as he can. I feel that a new challenge is what he needs.
Yeah, great point right there, Nigel. Now I've got you on my own. We've managed to get rid of all of our guests. I think it's important to recognize your great work in the media. Never easy to retire from professional football and create a living and create something that you enjoy doing post-professional football. But what you are doing is fantastic. And I will say this, as we continue to grow this project, and obviously Luis Miguel Echegaray has moved on, and we are now being handed the keys to this thing, I'm really looking forward to working with you on this project going forward. And I guess I'll leave the final word for you before I close it up.
You caught me completely off guard there, but no, really, truly, no. You're a talented guy as well. Very, very knowledgeable in the game. And I think it's fantastic. You know, like you said, we love doing this talking football. And what I like as well is the fact of what we discussed, Ian, is the fact of we're outliners. We're willing to get out of our comfort zone. And as much as we love the Premier League, we also respect and love other leagues because there's talent everywhere. Football is the world's game. You know, it doesn't just belong to one nation. It's the world's game. And I think so many conversations can be had across board just for the appreciation and the love of the game of football. And you're fantastic at what you do and very knowledgeable, like I said, and I'm enjoying it. You've got the keys. You're in the front seat. I'm in the back. So let's go.
Yeah, I would just say to everybody out there who's been watching on or listening in to strap on your seatbelts, because there is a ton of big guests coming our way. We've been handed the keys to this, and we're certainly going to take care of it for LME. We're looking forward to the ride. We got a lot of guests planned for you as well to enjoy. But I just want to say a big thank you to you, Nigel, and thank you also to Michael Lahoud for joining us today. And to everybody else out there who's been watching Kegel Lazo today, thank you so much. We appreciate you. You're reviews, for clicking the like and subscribe button. But please take a minute to leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast. So make sure you leave a rating. Make sure you're following the journey because it's going to be a wild one. We're also available on video, so subscribe to us on YouTube. I guarantee you, you do not want to miss out what is coming your way. Thanks to everyone for watching along. Nigel, once again, thanks to you so much for joining us today. And to everyone out there who's been watching, we appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.